So Tommy. Why have I got American? So Tommy.
So Tommy, baby.
What does walk like a man, talk like a man mean to you?
Means be a fucking dick.
Yes. Like a lad.
Be a lad. Walk up, grab that ass, take it home, smash it, pound it. Don't call it ever again.
Jesus Christ.
Shredded though, right? Look at that tan.
Yes, as shredded as an orange, mate.
But look at that. Look at the tan. I burnt like a motherfucker yesterday.
What were you doing?
Well, I wasn't sunbathing, that's for sure.
It's good that you're playing with the mic. That's really good for our listeners.
Sorry, motherfuckers. No one listens anyway, mate. Come on.
I'm pretty sure Kiki does.
I'm pretty sure she doesn't.
Well, she quoted a line from the podcast.
Got which one? I'm intrigued. Was it a racist one?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Talking of racist. So I went to a wedding for one of Chrissy's and my mutual friends. And I think it was the bride's uncle came up to me and was like, so...
What part of Japan are you from?
Pretty much. He was like, where are you from? I said, oh, I'm from Kazakhstan. I said, oh, right, that's cool. My son's just in China at the moment.
That's fucking genius. Oh, my son's in China. Yeah, that's close.
I mean, cool, I suppose. Yeah, he's got a Chinese girlfriend bringing her home for Christmas.
Oh, aren't you just the multicultural
that's courtier? Conversation over?
Cool. Nice. You should have been like, nah, I don't like those Chinese. They massacred my people.
They did, so let's not laugh.
It's
but yeah,
how unfortunate.
Yeah,
the world's full of racists, mate. I tell you what, I told you once, I told you again, I tell you again, white people can't tell Asian nationalities apart.
Yeah, but y'all look alike to me as well.
Yeah, it's because we are all alike,
you know.
You can tell a Norwegian apart because they all,
you're white, you Ben Affleck,
they're blonde, so. Thank you for categorising us. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've enjoyed today's show.
Enjoyed? Well, that's a 3-minute podcast by Tom.
Well, you know, we do an hour and a half to 2 hours and no one listens, so we may as well do 3 minutes.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
So, no, it's nice to know, because obviously we do get a few little listens, and it's nice to know that Chrissy listens. So, hey, Chrissy.
And call Eduardo me. From Colombia.
Yeah.
Or is it Ecuador?
Ecuador. And occasionally Raul, because if you look at our homepage where we host our show, it will tell us where our listeners are. And so it's like UK 77%, USA 20%. 1.5%, and then just all these countries greater than 1%. That's definitely Raul, 100%.
Not necessarily, we might have
one listener in Kabul.
Some Polynesian. I mean, Raul is not travelling to Kabul, is he?
Not just yet, no. Should do.
He should. Not many waves there, though.
Well, quite a lot of sound waves.
Wow. Okay, so on today's podcast, what we want to tackle is masculinity, femininity, and what that means to us, our experience with it, and
what it means,
and how it's portrayed in public.
Yeah. Foreign. And how it's changing, how it's possibly changing.
Because it is changing.
Yep.
You've got those sneaky Koreans.
The northern ones.
The southern men, southern Korean men wearing makeup. They've released a whole line of makeup products.
I'm wearing some right now.
Hugely popular in South Korea and most of Asia.
Dimitri's wearing some right
because
now.
Because of K-pop, yeah. I'm just wearing some blusher.
No one can tell.
Well, you can't because skin's too dark.
Yeah.
I also see, talking of makeup, what is it? Right, so you know how girls do contouring?
Yes.
if you go up to Manchester, what they started doing is basically applying...
Who's they?
The Galdems.
Right.
So they started applying literally white cream to where they think the contours should be. And they look like clowns. Or at least whores that cater directly to clowns. That's a Scrubs line for you there.
I don't watch Scrubs. I like my comedy to be funny.
Well, it is. So let's go with masculinity. What does masculinity mean to you?
It's a tough question, but I guess if you were to look at my previous thoughts on it, because I guess it changes, but I would say, I don't know, I don't want to be sexist. Provider.
Ooh.
Suits. Muscles. Strong aftershave.
Oh, wow. So you're describing...
No, I don't know. I'm describing me.
You're describing Old Spice.
What does masculinity mean? I mean, I guess it's stereotypical things. It's like being brave and honourable, having good morals. You know what I mean? Looking after your family. Breadwinner sort of thing.
Ooh. Well, okay, so the dictionary description of masculinity is qualities or attributes regarded as characteristics of men.
Yeah.
Now, synonyms to that, interesting, is virility.
Sure.
Fine. Manliness.
That's the same thing as masculinity, surely.
Well, that's why it's a synonym, you idiot.
Okay. Right.
Vigor. Strength. Muscularity. Ruggedness. Toughness. And robustness.
Right. Nothing there about, like, honour or honesty. Well, I guess virtuousness. You say virtue? Virtuosity, however you say it.
Now, femininity, what does that mean to you?
Thank you for answering my question, by the way. What does femininity
mean?
There
was virility, not.
Oh, yeah. So virtue's not on there.
No, not
femininity. Let's have a think of what the Oxford Dictionary might say. I'm going to say things like fertility, great cooking. what else might I say? Curvaceousness, voluptuousness.
Oh, wow. Men can be voluptuous.
Men can be voluptuous. They shouldn't be, but they can be.
You are, so.
I'm curvaceous. I've not quite hit voluptuous yet. I'm getting there. I'm doing those squats. Get that peach.
Okay, well, the dictionary describes as qualities, attributes regarded as characteristics of women. Fine.
Washing up.
But the synonyms are womanliness, feminineness, womanhood, womanly qualities, feminine qualities, and that's it.
They're rehashing. I mean, there's two synonyms there, but, and they've rehashed them.
But interesting how masculinity actually describes the classically attributed characteristics of men.
Traits, yeah.
Vigor, yeah. Strength, toughness, ruggedness, robustness. Femininity in a dictionary just has basically womanliness, feminine qualities.
I wonder if any female rights activists have looked this up and seen this and taken it up with the Oxford Dictionary.
Probably
if
not.
If they haven't, we're going to be the first ones on Twitter.
Exactly.
We're going to fucking go viral.
So, femininity really has only started to be used a lot, and I'm talking a lot, in the late 90s. And same with masculinity. So that's when it became a huge topic.
Mm.
So masculinity, for example, let's discuss that one, because realistically, for femininity, we need a girl here. But masculinity, obviously massively in the news at the moment, toxic masculinity especially. Mm. Also, you know, it touches on LGBTQ. It touches on perception of men in public. If you had to describe the most masculine guy or the most masculine person, who would you describe?
Could it be past or present?
Past or present?
Hercules.
Ooh, interesting. Why?
just a, you know, all men are gods. All men are chiselled. So should be.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's a symbol of masculinity. You can't say he's not.
In what sense, though? So I went to the Louvre over last week, and I saw loads of statues of Hercules.
Yeah, and I bet he was muscle-bound.
Absolutely.
Looking angelic, beautiful, pure.
Not angelic. He was long-haired, bearded, muscled dude with a... most awfully, with like a bat in his hand. Not like a flying bat. A beating bat.
A beating bat? I have never seen him portrayed with a beating bat.
You've never been to the Louvre, then?
I have been to the Louvre.
Well, clearly a liar. But okay, so why Hercules?
Oh,
is that you?
It sounded like it, but my phone was actually getting a text message and...
Sure.
I just farted on the coffee table. I didn't. Sorry, what was your question?
Well, if you would have listened.
I didn't listen because I got the text message.
So why masculinity? Why is Hercules your most masculine dude?
He's not. I was just being a dick.
Right, okay. Well, that's...
Who's the most masculine? I mean, how about Dan Bilzerian?
Okay, why?
Well, you know, if you're going to go by the synonyms described by the Oxford Dictionary,
no, but that,
yeah, no, but you know, it's I can associate with some of them. Do you know what I mean? He's rugged. The guy is chiseled. He's hench.
Hench means muscular, by the way.
He's ripped.
Stacked.
He can provide very well because the guy is wealthy. And I think, to a certain extent, we associate wealth with masculinity, or at least we did up until this present juncture in time. Surrounded by chicks, I mean, come on. If the guy was surrounded by other guys, you'd be like, yeah, he's masculine, but also, is he borrowing Hercules' bat for the other side?
So what about LeBron James?
He's masculine. Sorry, he's good at sports.
Most of the time.
All right, but he's mostly playing sports, isn't he? He's not fucking rocking around on a cruise ship with him, stroking pigs.
What about Bill Gates?
I would not describe Bill Gates as an epitome of masculinity.
Interesting. He can provide more so than Dan.
To different levels. But Dan can provide to a better extent than me. So, doesn't make him more masculine. I'm masculine.
So, is masculinity relative?
Well, I think it is. Because I think Bill Gates is the ultimate masculine symbol to guys playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Sure.
No?
Could be.
Well, what's your opinion? Who's your ideology of masculinity?
RuPaul. Freddie Mercury. Elton John. Why are you laughing? I'm serious, so...
What? Explain, please.
Well, they hang out with loads of men. No, what's my epitome of masculinity? I would say, you know what, I would say Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that's a good shout. But go on, let's hear your justifications.
And not because he's rugged and blah, 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 blah. I think he's the epitome of a 21st century man.
So you think that's what all 21st century men should be like? Aspire to be.
If we were all like Ryan Reynolds, I think we would all do well in our lives.
Except we'd all be from Canada, eh?
Well, he doesn't sound like that, so...
No, he doesn't. He's practiced that Hollywood
He's
accent.
Funny. He's also stacked. Probably richer than Dan. He's got a beautiful wife. Show. Great kids.
Yeah.
He's
not
funny.
Not looked at his kids.
I have. why are you laughing? And Michael Jackson as well. Hey, Tino.
Hey there. It's ignorant.
Yeah, I think Ryan Reynolds, he's sensitive enough, he's funny enough, he's political enough, he's sensible enough.
So you've
enough.
Touched on something 21st century there. You think that sensitivity is now a part of masculinity?
I never understood why this was excluded.
I think because...
Napoleon...
Especially from a, okay. Well, from a British point of view as well,
well okay.
To show your emotions is very...
Sure. So let's take... who should we take? Who would you say is the most masculine British persona?
Anthony Joshua.
Loves his mum.
Yep.
Cried.
Yep.
On a number of occasions.
Yep.
Talks about racism. Talks about... He's very sensitive.
Yep.
Next.
No, but I'm asking because...
Lost we're talking, yesterday.
Yeah, but we're talking about the change of masculinity and how it's evolving.
Yeah. But
so what I'm saying is...
But I think...
Because it's on our lifetime, okay. The sensitive... Well,
let's interrupt each other.
You're a cock. Go on, no, you go.
I
age
will.
Age before beauty, mate.
I will.
Prick.
You're doing it again. So you're... I'll forgive you this time, but you're doing it again. Don't make it a habit.
Get on with it.
I think men were always sensitive. If you look at...
Hitler.
Yeah. love dogs, was a vegan. So... if you look at, or vegetarian, if you look at ancient Greece, the Trojan War, why did the Trojan War happen?
Didn't the princess get kidnapped or something along those lines?
No.
It was a marriage gone foul somewhere.
Was it Paris? No, yeah. It wasn't. It was...
Paris was the brother.
The...
Oh, you don't even know.
No, it was because of Helen, Princess Helen.
Helen of Troy.
Helen of Troy launched the face that launched 1,000 ships.
Ah, okay. Go on.
So...
Interested to know where you're going with this.
Well, the Trojan War, which is one of the most famous wars in history, was created because of a love for a woman.
Right.
So how does that not, you know, portray men as sensitive?
Well, I think it could be argued that it portrays men as possessive.
But it's all done because of love, because her husband...
Well, I mean, that's just poetic justice, isn't it? You don't know it was done out of love.
Okay. Zeus wanted kids, had sex with his daughters.
Right.
Out of love.
Sure.
No,
this
but
is why you're so popular in the deep south of America.
If you look at famous writers and artists.
Yep.
Who were men. Very emotional. Wrote poetry.
Okay.
Philosophers. I mean...
But people who were outright sensitive weren't necessarily lauded as icons of masculinity. I can see the irony. I can see the irony.
Well, what about Napoleon?
Well, I don't know too much about his.
Not that small, also.
Okay.
As described in literature, he wrote huge, very emotional letters to Alexandra. Was it Alexandra? His wife. I think the concept of sensitivity. I think somewhere along the line, because let's face it, right. Men in ancient Greece kind of like to fuck little boys. So, you know, bisexual by all accounts. Rome, the same. And somewhere along the lines, it became unmasculine to be sensitive. So I would say First World War. Second World War. The depiction of... because that's really when sexes were more... There was more emphasis put on the sexes.
Yeah.
If you look at the
more disparity,
the Aryan depiction of men and women, men were these stacked, blonde, blue-eyed, ferocious soldiers who were there to protect the motherland, and women were these just child-bearing individuals who were there to tend to the men.
Mm.
And then it sort of continued throughout, and I think that's where, because yes, men were always lauded as to be a true man, you had to be equal parts of rugged and muscular, etc., etc., but you also had to be sensitive.
True. And courageous.
And courageous. And, you know, emotional, and but also keep your emotions in check, and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Hercules. So do you think it's difficult to be masculine?
I think in the current world, it depends how you describe masculine, but the neoclassical way of describing masculinity in ruggedness and manliness and strength and virility, I think it's frowned upon predominantly by people who believe that masculinity leads to toxicity.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So with that in mind, and it being fairly potentially difficult to be masculine, do you think that because of the changing in the way that culture and socialism is going at the moment,
socialism, you think,
society. Well, the society, sorry, whatever.
Sure. Well,
don't correct me. Stop interrupting me a little bit.
Two are different, so.
I know. Sorry. But do you think that the change is healthy? Do you think it's difficult? Do you think there should be change? Do you think we should focus more on the previous ideologies of what it is to be masculine, or do you think we should embrace the change?
Well, masculinity is a social construct, isn't it?
Yep.
Society dictates how a man should be, or what a perception of a man is. Realistically, the only thing that's masculine about men is the fact that they have a penis.
And testicles.
And testicles and mammary glands, breasts.
Yep.
That's the only thing. They can't give birth. So if you look at masculinity from a biological perspective, it's very black and white. If you look at masculinity from a societal perspective, there's a lot of attributes in there that are dictated by society, which may not necessarily be applicable to each and every guy. I'm not chiseled. Doesn't make me less of a man.
No.
Doesn't make me feminine or masculine.
No.
Doesn't make me more feminine or less masculine.
Do you feel judged?
No. I think the idea that a man has to provide for a woman is now slowly becoming, ironically, slowly becoming more prominent than it was before.
Right.
Because I think there's a shift to more conservative ways in recent years with Trump and Farage and Austria and Netherlands, Russia electing more conservative leaders.
Mm.
I think that's becoming more and more of an issue. Do I think that masculinity is evolving? I don't think it's actually evolving. I think it's going back to what it was historically, what it historically meant.
Mm.
A man who is equally as strong and in terms of physicality and character, as well as emotional and conscious enough to admit when they're wrong.
So do you think that, let's hypothesize here, let's play devil's advocate and say that there's a woman and she's going through, or she's gone through the change, she's now a man. Do you think that he will be able to or naturally attain what we've described as masculinity?
But I think a lot of the times, the women that trans transition into a man would have typically male attributes.
Yeah,
and
of course. But
characteristics.
Some, not necessarily all of them. They're still going to have, you know, they're still going to have some, you know, female hormones, estrogen, for example.
Yes, so biologically, but not socially. So
no, but biologically, but you know, some of the attributes, you know, for could be argued that they are driven by different hormones, you know.
Yeah.
Aggression could be seen as So courageousness could be attributed in some part to high levels of testosterone.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's an argument there to say that perhaps a transgendered woman would struggle to attain the attributes of masculinity.
Well, but they also take testosterone hormone inducers, yeah, don't they?
It's interesting. What about femininity? Well, let me ask you this first. Sorry, I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay,
I know that you're not an easily intimidated person, and you're very easygoing, and you're comfortable with yourself. But what would it take for you to have your? Because I think every man, I think it's true that every man has some sort of masculine pride. Do you know what I mean? So what would it take for your masculinity to be called into question, bruised, hurt?
Again, I think you kind of alluded to it. Because I'm comfortable with who I am, if someone says, oh, you're not man enough, it's like, okay, well, fine. That's your opinion, that's not...
Yeah, but you're thick-skinned, but, I mean, everyone can be... offended.
Yeah, but I've never had... Whenever it's... It was never an issue for me. I was never... My masculinity was never questioned or put into a question. Even, say, when you're drunk and you get whiskey dick. There's still more than one ways to...
Skin a cat?
Yeah. To kill that pussy. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? You just do other things. So for me, it was never, I never felt like, oh, you know, I had a lot to drink. I can't get it up. Oh shit, am I a man? I never had that crisis of masculinity. What about you? Like, do you feel like you're masculine? Do you feel like your masculinity is being challenged or questioned?
I feel like it gets challenged, and I feel like I do think I'm quite masculine in some senses, and I feel like I'm not in others. And I feel...
In what ways do you feel like you're not masculine?
Well, because I guess, up until now, I never attributed sensitivity, and I feel like I'm quite a sensitive guy. I can be emotional. I don't cry or any of that bullshit.
Yeah.
Or write go.
Let's go.
Don't write in poetry or anything.
Do you not?
I do.
You never have?
To you, I have. I have written poetry, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's because we're creative as well. So you have to sort of unbottle it a little. But I feel like my masculinity gets called into question in different ways, perhaps, to some others, because I'm a relatively large chap.
And also, I suppose, you work in an industry where it's predominantly masculine.
Well, this is very true. I think, so far on site, I've probably counted well over 200 guys, like, different guys... And
that you would smash.
Three that I would smash.
Yeah.
And three women that I would probably lose an arm wrestle to. No.
What trades are they working as, by the way?
The women, they're not in trades. I think one of them is she's like a site manager. So
she controls the men.
Yeah, and two of the other men, I don't mean this to sound sexist, two of the other women are cleaners.
Well, that's not sexist if that's their job.
No, I know, but I don't want to feel like I'm... I don't want people to think, oh, he's just making it up. They're cleaners.
That's
fine. That's what they do. So their job's fine.
So because you're a larger guy, you're 6 foot and a half.
6 foot, well, fine.
how do you feel your masculinity is changed?
Well, because I am over 6 foot and I'm quite broad and I've worked in construction a lot, so fat. You know, yeah. I am fat. I eat lots of chocolate. No, but it's true. If I'm on a night out, I can almost guarantee that someone will need to come and test themselves on me. I give up going out at the moment, really, because I'll always get a look. Because I'm bold as well, so
and old as fuck. So why would you be in a club?
Exactly. I mean, granddad, I've gone bold. No, but you know, seriously, it's quite irritating because I'll get a lot of people come up and be very aggressive towards me.
Yeah.
Just because of how I look, and you know, I'm not. I don't go out looking for trouble. I'm not an aggressive guy. But
I don't think I've ever seen you punch a person.
No. Well, you've not seen me punch anything. That implies that I hit dogs and stuff in the street.
Well,
only when I'm in Korea.
I've seen you punch a wall out of frustration.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Well, I have.
What was that? Nah, lying.
I have. It's because of your ex. But that's fine. Okay. Well, but that's interesting, isn't it? Because I think it's a male attribute. That when men get drunk, testosterone rages, and they start to look for a fight. I've been in a number of scraps in Bristol because of that kind of situation.
Yeah,
you go to Syndicate, someone grabs someone's ass.
Yeah,
you tell them, mate, do you want to keep your hands to yourself?
Yeah,
people start to square up to you and start saying, you what, mate? You what, mate?
Yeah,
and you say, okay, mate, let me fucking grab your dick. And see how you enjoy it. Oh, yeah, but I'm not gay, though. Well, the point still stands.
Yeah.
It's not enjoyable.
What if she's not straight? What if she's a lesbian?
Oh, yeah, but I could turn her. No, you couldn't.
Your dick
is not magical. Yeah?
Nor is it a vagina.
But I do think that talking of, masculinity being challenged, I do think that girls have a much worse time when it comes to questioning their femininity.
Do you think?
Yeah, because I think if you feel comfortable in baggy jeans and t-shirt, you're automatically, there's words like tomboy.
Yeah.
There's no words like Lucy girl. You know what I mean? For boys.
Yeah,
but there is tomboy for girls, because if they don't wear dresses when they're young, they're considered tomboys.
Yeah.
If they then go through life still being straight and female, but preferring to wear baggy clothes or preferring to hang out with guys or drinking beer or have a slightly lower voice than your average girl,
yeah,
they're considered, oh, she's manly.
Oh, she's a bit masculine.
And
get her in the rugby team.
Yeah, I do think that that's kind of it's a bit unfair. I mean, I'm not completely immune to saying those things as well.
Mm.
But I do feel like girls who don't look a certain way or who don't act a certain way get their femininity questioned way more than guys who are a bit camp like you.
I'm not camp, by the way, ladies and gents. So,
but do you know what I mean? It's like
yeah, for sure.
If you're a girl and you don't wear makeup because you don't like makeup, you're seen as ugly.
Well, let's discuss femininity. So, who do you see, a past or present, as a feminine icon?
I would say up until 2000s, it was probably Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, 100%.
She was a huge feminine icon. Audrey Hepburn was a huge feminine icon.
Yeah.
I think, now femininity's attributed, well, the faces of femininity are people like Beyonce, Kim Kardashian.
Rihanna?
Yeah, Rihanna. You know, the But all those three have something in common. They're curvy. They are, you know, they are killing it commercially, killing it aesthetically.
Mm-hmm.
No one, for example, says that Oprah is the ultimate feminine icon.
Or Theresa May.
Or Theresa May.
Or Margaret Thatcher.
Or Maggie. Or the.
Why do you think that is?
I think virility has a lot to do with it. I think for you
and power.
To, well, not power, but youth and strength in youth has a lot to do with it.
What about Michelle Obama?
Yeah.
Which camp?
I think she's a feminine icon. But she's a feminine icon because she's not necessarily because. Like, if you compare her to Marilyn Monroe, they're not necessarily identical they're not treated the same as a feminine icon.
No. Well, Marilyn Monroe, massive sex symbol.
She was more of a sex symbol than a feminine icon.
So do you think she was more of a feminine icon in the eyes of men or women?
Very interesting question. I would have thought that actually more people sympathise with Jackie Kennedy than Marilyn Monroe. Both women around at the same time, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know what I would love to have seen is Marilyn Monroe old. I would have loved to see how she aged.
Yeah.
Because obviously she died when she was fairly young. 30s,
I think. Yeah. Maybe even younger.
So I would have loved to see what that would have been like. But, you know, I kind of feel bad. I feel very sorry for girls.
I do.
The kind of societal pressure that they have to get into. And also things like, in the West anyway, if a girl does engineering, she's automatically considered a bit of a tomboy.
Yeah, a bit mannish.
Because it's a predominantly considered masculine subject.
Yeah.
If you go east of Germany, basically, more women are studying STEM subjects, so sciences, technology, economics, maths.
Mm-hmm.
Than they're doing in the West. And I wanted to ask you this. Do you think, as you work in the construction industry, do you think that there is a chronic underrepresentation of women in the construction industry?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. There's not one female electrician that I work with. However, in the office, everyone in the office, barring, maybe the owner and one other, they're all females, all female administrators. So I think the preconceptions, they're there, they're ready made.
But how do you achieve that balance between men and women in the construction industry?
Well,
do you think it naturally draws men rather than women, and why?
Some of the trades do. I would say groundworks, for example. I wouldn't say that appeals to women.
Why is that?
Well,
why do you think that is?
I think because it's very hands-on. I am. It's very hands-on, it's very hard-working on your body. I'm not saying that women can't handle it, but I'm just saying I don't think it appeals to them. Whereas men, you know, it's a bit of a lad's thing, isn't it? You know, go and fucking dig holes together, fill it up with concrete, go down a pub and get pissed.
It's interesting that, isn't it? Because it's from your childhood that actually happens.
Yeah.
So, one of our friends, Chrissy, her mum is an electrician.
Mm.
And I can imagine she went through a lot of interesting situations where she would turn up and they'd be like, so, you know.
Where's the electrician?
Yeah.
Well, she did. Chrissy told us this in the podcast that she was on.
Yeah.
You guys should go listen.
Yeah. The audio is superb on that. But
That was in the early days.
That was in the early days.
But no, you're right. She was obviously treated to misconceptions and blatant sexism.
Do you think this will change? Do you think that more women... how would you achieve that? How would you achieve more women in the construction industry? If you could do it, if you could change it.
If it was me, I'd probably start from how it's advertised. So, you know, if you're going to school, you're going to sick form. I remember from my sick form, there were loads of posters in the common room about, you know, various careers, and there'd be a military one and it'd be a military guy, and, you know, it'd be a construction one and a construction guy, and a PE teacher and a male PE teacher, and this, that, and the other. And I think that's one of the ways it needs to change, is your preconception of it. So as you're walking around with this, basically with propaganda, with advertising, you're looking at it and you're like, ah, that's not for me because it's a guy doing it. Or that's for me because it's a man doing it. Do you know what I mean? So I think it starts there. And it has to start in the education system.
So do you think that if... Because there is a theory. Do you think that if there was more education about women in the industry, more women will be drawn to it?
Yeah, for sure.
Because here's the theory. I don't know who came up with the theory, but there is a theory that actually the poorer the country and society, the more likely women will go into more what are considered masculine industries in the West.
Right.
So, for example, why are there so... I've got a lot of Greek friends.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the Greek friends that I know, the females studied maths, economics, architecture, or engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the women go into civil engineering or mechanical engineering. Now, as a society, Greece is more, ironically, is more patriarchal. And yet, more women work as engineers, more women work in finances, etc., etc.
Right.
And that is all because for you to survive and to have a good path in life in terms of prosperity and financial security and social security, the belief is that you have to be a doctor, an engineer, or a lawyer, or in finances. So the preconception is that you shouldn't be going into fine art because that doesn't give you money. You should be going into engineering because that gives you more money. And because you're in a poor country, you need to study these kind of subjects, which will give you more secure jobs and better paid jobs.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean? So in England, where there's a lot of social security, so you don't really have to think about your career. You could always fall back on the government. The average life, quality of life is much better than in poorer countries.
Mm-hmm.
You have more of a choice over your career. So people choose things like psychology, sociology, arts, humanities. So fewer STEM subjects. It's interesting because I think that Britain... And the question over feminine roles in Britain is almost, it's a victim of its own success. Because we're so rich as a nation, our people don't feel like they need to study STEM subjects. That's why there's a chronic undersupply of STEM. So let's take sciences, chronic undersupply of sciences, science graduates, let alone female graduates.
Mm.
Because people don't see the point in this. They're more comfortable to pursue more arts related subjects.
So do you think that's what they're more naturally drawn to?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's more that because we are well off as a society, our female counterparts don't need to think about as much
about providing
in the family.
So another symbol of masculinity could be portrayed as being a provider.
Yeah, but also it doesn't necessarily need to be providing for the family, providing for yourself as well.
Yeah, yeah. Self-sufficient.
Yeah. So you don't need to study economics or engineering because actually, you know what, doesn't matter.
If you had a daughter, how would you guide her towards making a career choice or a choice in education?
See, I thought about this because obviously I come from a country which is not very wealthy. So I had it ingrained in me that I had to be, like my grandfather always said, you need to be either a doctor or a lawyer.
Told you this whilst you were vacationing on the family yacht.
Sure. Because that's how you get the yacht. You don't get the yacht by being a painter.
Lazy, of course. Well, unless you're Michelangelo or someone like that.
Well, still didn't get recognition until he died, so next.
You know, Picasso.
Well, didn't get recognition until he died.
Rembrandt.
Didn't get recognition until he died.
Dali.
Didn't get recognition until he died.
He fucking did.
Not to the same extent. Now. He didn't sell paintings for millions of pounds.
All right.
So, how would I
the point, though, didn't we?
How would I push my daughter?
Yep. Or your niece, whatever. Cousin, second cousin, my twice niche. Removed. Your niche.
I would... You know what? Because I come from the...
China.
Because I come from China... It would be maths. No.
And badminton.
And, yeah, only badminton.
Gymnastics.
And maybe basketball. But like only to a certain level.
Yeah.
I would, because I come from I've grown up in a wealthy society.
Yeah.
In terms
Is
of...
Is that what you call your family, a society?
Yeah. Okay. It's been ingrained into me that people can do whatever they want or whatever they feel passionate about.
Yeah.
So I regret, in a way, doing the degree that I did, and I would rather I did PPE, philosophy, politics, economics, because that's what I'm interested in.
Right.
Whereas actually what I did was a very vocational degree, which is property management and investment, which is...
Boring as fuck.
Realistically what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But then I question myself as, would I be paid the hundreds of thousands of pounds that I am now... If I took that degree.
Well, it depends. You could have been the first Asian Prime Minister.
You know?
You got the charisma. And the glibness. Glibness.
Charisma and leadership is not necessarily always combined to positive results.
No.
Hitler.
That's a funny cough you had there.
Yeah.
It almost sounded racist.
Well, it's not racist to say Hitler. But you know what I mean. So it's I would say do whatever you want to do, but then I would also be worried that actually, well, how the fuck are you going to eat? So say my daughter does fine art.
Mm.
Well, what's her path to self-sufficiency, self-sustainability?
She gets herself a strong finance man.
Well, this is it. So then you start to think, well, she needs to marry a finance guy, or a guy that earns... the same hundreds of thousands of pounds that I do.
So needs to marry daddy, basically.
Yeah, exactly, which you don't want.
And then you give her a complex.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm almost tempted...
Would you tell her that? Would you say, look, if she sat down with you and she went, sir, may I sit with you? And the butler leaves.
you can leave, Jasper.
Yeah. Very good, sir. Off he goes, right, carrying all the finery. She sits down with you and she says, Dad, I want to go to university or college or whatever. All right, yeah, cool. Didn't give you permission to speak first, but carry on. and she said, I want to study fine art. That's where my passion is. I love it. What do you think? Oh, I need your blessing. I need your blessing with my education choices.
See, depends. If I'm at that stage in my life when my daughter's 18, say this happens in the next... Say I have my daughter at 35, 18 years later it's 53. So, sorry. Yes, 53 years of age. And yep. I've got £1 million in my bank account in cash. I'd be like, you know what? Yeah, fuck it. Do whatever you want. So if I can ensure that she can always fall back on something...
Yeah, but in that case, she's falling back on you.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah, but...
She's doing what she loves.
Yeah, are you potentially destroying her virtue there.
Well, I wouldn't tell her that. I wouldn't tell her, oh, yeah.
Well, what would you tell her then? Because you've said, what are you supposed to say? But Don't worry, darling, wink. There's loads in the bank. Come with me and let's Scrooge McDuck.
A lot of paper cuts. I would say, look, if you do this, know that you will do this only because you love the art world.
Yeah.
90% of people that go into fine art requalify as something else.
I mean, she could do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you say, look, why don't you do this first, do a nice practical mechanics degree, then do your fine art, or vice versa, whichever way. Because you could afford both.
See, I would, even with my wealth, I would still make my kids grow up knowing the value of the pound. So for example, at the moment for me, because I know what I earn and I know how I earn it, if my iPhone breaks, I just go and get another one.
Mm.
But if I break my screen, I wouldn't just get another one. I'd repair my screen because, you know, I'd look for cheaper alternatives or just keep my phone until the next cycle or whatever.
Well, of course. It's reacting in a necessary way.
Exactly. Whereas I wouldn't, if I give my kid an iPhone and then he or she breaks it whilst being out and then comes back and says, oh, daddy, I need a new iPhone because my iPhone broke. I'd just say, you know what? Yes, it has broken. Either keep using it or get a job and get money.
So you'd treat them, but you wouldn't make them obnoxious.
I would give them all the opportunities in life to enjoy life,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't allow them to take spoiled. It for granted.
Right. So if they started taking the piss, would you take them back to the suburbs?
Well, okay, so...
In Kazakh?
I had a discussion about this with my girlfriend, that if we have kids, every summer, they would go to their grandparents. Because their grandparents live either in Russia or in Oxford. Okay, less.
yeah. Okay. Oh, no. We're going to have to go boating again.
yeah, or in Thailand with loads of land. Loads of land.
And loads of Thais.
But slaves. And but, you know, so it's for them to sort of understand that actually... Because my girlfriend's parents aren't
poor,
but they're not exceedingly rich, so they
or Russian standards.
Russian standards.
Okay.
So they wouldn't be able to afford to give them whatever they wanted. So, like, I'll give you an example. My dad always said, "I'm never going to buy you a PlayStation."
Yep.
If you want a PlayStation, earn your money and then buy it yourself. I'm never going to buy it for you. And I hated that at the time, but now I realize, and I grow up, now that I'm 30 years young, let's say that.
Yep.
I never owned one. Even when I could afford it, I never bought one.
Mm.
I always saw it as a waste of money.
Yep.
Why do it myself when I've got a friend with it?
Yeah, fair shout.
So,
you still owe me my PlayStation, by the way. Give it back.
Oh, yeah, sure. And things like... When I wanted certain, when I turned 16 and I wanted certain clothes or certain gadgets or whatever that was cool of the day, my dad just said...
No, Dimitri, you're not wearing Primark. You'll carry on wearing Armani and you'll jolly well like it.
Except, but Dad, it's cool.
Dimitri, you're not wearing a Casio. Wear this Hublot.
But like my first ever, I remember I really wanted... some Dolce & Gabbana jeans.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad
popular
said...
in school, were they?
How much were they? And that's about, you know, the 300 quid. So, well, you can go get a job and buy them yourself. And you know what? I never bought them. Even when I got a job and I earned the money, I thought, why the fuck would I spend 3 weeks' worth of pay on some jeans?
Yep. So it grounded
you. So I got some Gucci ones. But yeah.
It grounded you, though.
No, it did. It did. Absolutely did.
It gave you the foresight of spending money and earning it.
Absolutely. And same when I turned 18, my dad said, right, I've paid for education, paid for your life, no more handouts.
See, now that, I like the fact, because your dad is like, no, I'm not buying you a pair of £300 jeans, but I will pay for your education.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's excellent. I like that.
And then when I graduated from university, he then said, well, I love you.
The bank of dad is now closed.
And I believe in you, but there'll be no connections. There'll be no networks. You have to show me that you can earn the money by yourself. So everything that I have now, all the hundreds of thousands of pounds that I earn now, are all done by me. And I can safely say that my parents had a huge input into my education, which creates my own network. But in terms of where I got to in my career, I can attribute at least half of that just to myself.
Mm. It's admirable.
Isn't it?
You're a symbol of masculinity.
Well, it's not, because I still bitch about it. Oh, Dad, why don't you buy me a flat? Well, I can buy five of them, son, but you need to do it yourself. Well, he said, so when I went to him and I said, look, let's get a flat in London because it's a good investment. My name doesn't have to go on it as an owner, but I'll pay the mortgage for it. And he said, no, but you won't learn the point of saving up for a deposit, getting a mortgage, etc., etc.
And your counter argument was what?
So my counter argument was, well, fuck you, Dad. No, I didn't have a counter argument because I went through that and I kind of agreed with him.
Yeah, but there's arguments on both sides there. I can understand the lesson he's implying on you. That's fine, but he doesn't have to continue. You know, you don't have to continuously give the same. I feel like you've learnt your lesson. Do you know, from my perspective, if it was me and you come up to me and said, look, why don't we buy this place? I'll live in it for a couple of years. I'll pay the mortgage. I'll pay my way. I've learnt my lesson. You buy it, but then it's an investment for you in the future. Well, and for me, because I'm paying the mortgage off.
Well, he said, if you save up for a deposit, I'll match it.
Fair enough.
So if I save up 100k over the next 3 years, he'll match that 100k.
That's fair enough.
So,
well, I'll give it to you, or you'll go splits on a property?
We'll go splits on a property.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that will give me enough equity to buy a property, and then the next property, when I sell up this place or whatever we do with it, leverage it, I'll be able to afford my own place in my own right.
Yeah.
So 100k can still get me a house.
But 200k can get you a better one with an investment.
Yeah. Or get me two houses. If I live in the north, which I won't.
Yeah. Where you could buy one, live in it, and buy one and do it up.
Well, exactly.
Investment.
Exactly. So there's a whole lot of.
So your dad is a physical embodiment of masculinity.
In what sense?
Well, great teacher. Sensitive.
Females can be great teachers too.
Oh yeah, but I said masculinity. You know, he's teaching you life lessons. He's not teaching you maths. He's teaching you how to be a man.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that he said is when he left his family home, he left with nothing because his dad did the same thing to him. And he learned a huge lesson. He traveled around the world. He's traveled something like 16 countries in 3 years just through work because he had to, you know, graft at it, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, I wouldn't have had the same impetus as I had if my dad just gave me the money or put me in touch with a person that would just give me a job. And I think that's actually the best way to do it, because I see people that have been given companies or given jobs or whatever, and the others, it's 50-50. They either succeed or they don't, as in 50% do and 50% don't. So it's not clear cut that actually just because you're given a business that it will always be good, no matter who your dad was, because you might not have the interest in it. So it was actually, as a life lesson, it was really good.
Excellent, I would say. Excellent.
Really good.
Where do you see the future of masculinity?
I think masculinity will become intertwined with humanism.
And femininity also?
Yeah, I think people will just accept people for who they are and for what they are. I think...
Do you think that as the need for sexual intercourse to create offspring goes down, the need for... And also equal opportunities arise.
Do you mean IVF or do you mean...
Well, however, you know, that you can do IVF, you can do lab grown, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of futurists say that as we progress and evolve, the need for sexual copulation in order to conceive will become non-existent.
Yeah.
It'll become illogical.
Yeah.
It will just be a pleasure thing. So do you think that masculinity and femininity will wipe itself out? I mean, where could you possibly see... Because one of the symbols of femininity, you can't lie about this, is...
birth.
Well, birthing, but also, you know, I can't think of the word right now. Fertility.
Yeah.
So...
But also for men. You know, if you're shooting blanks...
Yeah, but you can't see that, can you?
Do you know what
I mean? You can't look at me and go, fuck, man, swollen balls. Hell yeah. Fist bump, brah.
No, but if you're shooting blanks and everyone knows about it, I think you'd feel less
manly. You do feel, of course. But I'm talking about the physical.
I think, where would femininity be in that sense? I think there's more to femininity than just fertility. I think it's a multifaceted thing.
Women who just carry, you know, like loads of test tubes.
Yeah. I mean, what attracts you to your girlfriend?
Well,
is it the fact that she can bear birth, or is it the fact that
possibly on a biochemical scale,
but that will never go away. I think biologically men will still be thinking with their lizard brain of white hips, nice skin, blah blah blah, long hair, yes, I want you,
tits.
I think that will always exist.
You reckon?
I think so. I don't think that kind of part of our genetic disposition will not go away anytime soon, no matter how much we want it to.
No.
I think we'll always think with our base instincts. I think maybe in 100 Yeah, well, nothing changed in 100 years. Nothing changed in 2,000 years, if I read the Bible.
Yeah, but that's a real short time in terms of evolution.
Exactly, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like we're becoming any more enlightened or any less lizardy. You know what I mean? That we'll always...
Do you not think that base instincts will go down, though?
I don't think so.
I think they might.
They will eventually, but I'm not sure. Because
the need for sex, if the need for sex goes down and down.
Well, do you want kids?
Yeah.
But do you want kids now?
Not right now, no.
So why are you with a girlfriend? Why aren't you single?
Well.
Companionship.
Yeah.
Exactly. So your companionship overrides your sexual urges, or your base urges to reproduce.
Possibly. There's probably arguments against it.
Well, hugely. I think... I don't know. I don't think that our base instinct to reproduce will go away anytime soon. Even if we develop methods to have babies outside of the body.
Yeah. It's an interesting thread to wander down. It's also a bit of a rabbit hole. I think it's also it's it's highly speculative. We have no idea which direction it's really going to take. It's interesting to see how it's evolved and how it is evolving.
How are you seeing it evolving?
What, the ideals of femininity and masculinity?
Yeah.
I either see them staying as pronounced as they are from each other or becoming obsolete. Because, you know, women historically were always told, go for a good provider, you know, go for the square jaw and the big frame, go for the masculine man. But it's if people, you know, if men and women are earning the same amount, if providership isn't something that's important, then that's one of the stereotypes of masculinity just eradicated. Do you know what I mean? I think it's going to change massively. I think they could potentially become obsolete, just given the sheer nature that people are just allowed. We can do anything now. You know, you can change what you look like. You can change your chemistry. You can change gender. Do you know what I mean? People are going to become non-gender specific. So where do they lie? They lie in the grey area between masculine and feminine.
Yeah.
So
I think that's an interesting question to ask someone who is gender neutral, is to ask them, how do you feel, or how would you describe femininity or masculinity?
Well, I think those words would be irrelevant to them.
Well, exactly. What term would they use to describe themselves? Human?
Yeah, probably.
Because there is a human characteristic, right?
Yeah.
Compassionate, blah, blah, blah. Sentient.
Yeah.
Thoughtful, etc., etc. I mean, it's interesting. Have you read The Prince by Machiavelli?
Not yet. It's on my reading list.
Okay. Because it's interesting it's interesting how he describes what a leader should be. And it predominantly...
Bearing in mind this was written in the 1500s?
Something like that, yeah. And it's predominantly aimed at men.
Mm.
But there's nothing in it that actually applies only to men.
Okay. But do you think that's because of the time it was written? I mean, don't mean to be offensive here, but were women predominantly literate or illiterate at this time?
Probably illiterate, unless you were very rich.
Yeah. So you could argue that it was masculine by point of audience.
Yes. Yeah, but it wasn't written that this is for men only. I mean, it's called The Prince, so you assume that it was for the men.
Yeah, yeah. Written at a time when men were the leading...
Yeah, so it'll be future kings, basically.
Yeah.
But all the examples that he gives as to how to control and maintain power are all actually applicable to women as well as men.
I think the majority of things are applicable to both genders.
Exactly. Apart from, you know, like how to wash your penis, that kind of stuff. I'm not sure there's literature called How to Wash Your Penis, but if there was, it would probably apply mostly to men.
Well, I've just found my new book title.
How to Wash Your Penis.
Yep.
And other tips for men by Tom Knight.
I won't use tips because that's already implied by the penis.
Oh, God. No, but I think the whole concept of masculinity and femininity is kind of silly. I think a lot of the things in our society are silly just because it's a social construct. You know, people say that gender is a social construct. Well, clothes are a social construct.
Mm.
Everything's a social construct.
Apart from biology.
Biology is not. Biology is something that is. Yeah, it's the alpha and the omega.
Yep.
Whereas everything else that we have around us is a social construct.
Of course.
Why do we drink alcohol? Why do we smoke? You don't see any animals smoking.
Right. Why do we have war?
Well, animals go to war. Chimps.
Yeah. Biological, though. Sorry.
For territory.
Societal, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Talking of war, do you think that as war becomes more and more mechanical, i.e. robotic rather than boots on the ground, do you think it will become useless? Because actually, once the top 10 nations get to the same standard of war tech, do you think the cause for war will actually become almost obsolete? Because obsolete, because all nations then, the big nations, know that actually it's like with nukes. No one wants to use nukes now. So will it become with drones? Will it become
do I think it's going to be just a global checkmate?
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
A Mexican standoff.
Racist. Maybe one day.
Mexican's not a race.
National standoff.
I'm reading an interesting book called 2020 World at War.
Okay.
And it talks about, so it gives you the history behind some of the premise. So, for example, it talks about how China could spark a world war, and all the simulations that it gives are all to do with what would spark a third world war, a global war. Mm. Some of them are really interesting. Really interesting. So the one with China, it says that one of the main things that China wants to do is to reunify itself with Taiwan and to control the Strait of Malacca, which is a trading route,
right.
Major trading route in Asia. And it says that if China wants to implement that plan to reunify with Taiwan, it would have to do it outside of diplomacy, because Taiwan doesn't want to be part of China. So it would have to take it by force.
Right.
And if it does that, they go through a simulation of how that could happen, which is very interesting. The other one is Russia sending a virus to the UK national grid because it's so outdated. It's quite interesting.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds conjecturous.
It is conjecture, but it's all based on facts.
Well, it's based on what could realistically happen.
Yeah.
But the odds of those things happening are debatable.
Yes. So the reason why I think the Russians sending a virus to bring down the UK national grid is true, because there's a documentary called Zero Days, and whoever hasn't seen it, I highly recommend to watch it. And it's
where can they watch it?
They can watch it on, I think they can watch it on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
I procured it on the internet, and it's all about a virus called Stuxnet. Have you heard about it?
Yes.
And it's how they developed the malware and sent it to Iran. And it was all designed to bring down the Iranian nuclear program.
Right.
But actually what happened was that something like a quarter of all the world computers were infected.
That's a lot of computers.
Yeah. It's a really interesting one. Really interesting. 0 Days. Watch it.
Yep.
It's really good.
Will do. I'll load it up. I'll watch it this week. I like to watch at least one documentary a week.
Yeah, but I'd be careful about documentaries. I think, like, Finding Neverland.
No, they're not the sort of documentaries I like.
It's a bit.
I don't like that sort of stuff.
It's a bit. I've got a huge, huge skeptical hippo eyes on that.
What an unusual turn of phrase.
Huge skeptical hippo. Just because one of the guys says that when Michael Jackson was abusing him, it was on a train.
Right.
But were you undoing your trousers again? But
unraveling my penis.
But the train wasn't actually built during the time when he was saying that he was abused.
Right.
So I just avoid ones with a gender.
With a gender? What have you got against genders?
Oh, come on.
That's what he said.
So where can they find us, Tommy?
Well, I do believe you can find us on motherfucking Twitter.
Yarnspin is one.
No,
Podcast Yarn.
We are Podcast Yarn on Twitter and Yarnspin is one on Facebook.
And
Yarn motherfuckers can hit us up on email.
Yarnspinnerspodcast@gmail.com.
That's that shit.
Or T-Night. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, they can find us on... where else can they find us?
On Patreon. Mobile phone.
Patreon.
True.
Google us.
Google us, we're massive. We're massive in the knitting community.
You can find us on Anchor. You know what I mean? So we're on Anchor.
Find us on Anchor.
We're not on Google Play at the moment, I don't think.
I think we are.
Are we?
Yeah.
I know we're on like Podbean and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, that's where you can find us. That's where you've been able to find us for the last 33 episodes.
Yeah.
So, haven't got in contact yet.
No.
So, popular.
Plenty of emails, just not from listeners.
Mate, we are hitting it up with junk email. Do you know what I mean? If I want to go on a date, I'm set.
Or if you want to grow your penis, which you should, you're set.
Anyway. This podcast was brought to you by fuck all, because no one listens.
That's not true. We could get sponsorships, but the issue is the platform that we use. This is boring. Anyway, see you later. Peace.
See you later, guys. Peace. You're still...